Our lesson this morning is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, the basis of encouragement for godly ministries. False teachers claiming to be apostles had entered the church at Corinth and tried to promote their own views while discrediting the person and message of the apostle Paul. This is a difficult situation for Paul. His readers were immature believers who had been saved out of corrupt backgrounds in a city that was known for its vice. So they were easy prey for false teachers. Paul had to be careful how he handled the situation, lest his readers think that he was being unjustly defensive and thus discredit himself. 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 7 deal with Paul's relationship with the church. And 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 15, and I'm going to be using the English Standard Version especially this morning, gives the basis of encouragement for godly Christian ministries. So we view it for our insight and application. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have of being able to meet together as fellowshipping around the Word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who motivates, who encourages, who empowers us, who actually takes the Word of God and illumines it to us so that we can understand it. And then he equips us by his power to live it. And we ask for wisdom to utilize each one of these ministries of God that we might enjoy the blessing of God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 15. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not faint or we do not get discouraged, but have renounced the hidden things of a dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are live are always delivered unto God for Jesus' sake, that the life also may be, of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. It's interesting, though godly ministry is glorious due to the sure triumph of Christ and the transforming work of the Spirit of God, it also comes with hardships in terms of physical and spiritual demands. Paul reflected on these experiences and what sustained him, namely the power of God. Since Paul's team had received a glorious ministry from God and having received mercy to serve by God's grace, they did not lose heart. Rather, they had committed themselves to everyone's conscience in God's estimation by renouncing disgraceful, underhanded ways of ministry, refusing to be cunning or to tamper with God's word, but making candid statements of the truth. Incidentally, this is the best way to communicate the word of God, and that is to be candid. I had an uncle one time. I was home from Bible college, and they asked me to fill the pulpit, and so I filled the pulpit. And he told me afterwards, he says, Don, you communicate best if you talk from the pulpit like you're talking to me. He says, talk to me on person to person. Don't try to be like somebody else. And, you know, just talk to me like you're talking to one person. And I've heard other reports, too. People say, like if you're on television and you're communicating and you're speaking into the camera there, what you need to do is pretend like you're talking just to one person. And then you communicate the best. And that's exactly the way Paul was trying to communicate. He was trying to be candid. And that's what we seek to do. So if you're ever involved in teaching and teaching ministry, try to be yourself and just talk as though you're talking to one person. Then, even if the gospel of Christ that they preached was veiled, that means it was hidden, was veiled only to those who were perishing. For Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the eyes of such unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Incidentally, this is why when it comes to witnessing, you have to remember it is a supernatural ministry. Why? Because unsaved people have their minds clouded by Satan. And I'll tell you what, Satan has an intellect that's far higher than what you and I have. He has a file on us 4 inches thick. He knows all the buttons to push on us. He knows how to do a number on us. So when it comes to witnessing, we have to follow the Lord. Let the Lord open the door. Let the Lord provide the opportunity. And if an unsaved person asks a question, just answer the question. Don't hit him with the gospel. For goodness sakes, don't go overboard. He has a question, answer the question. Let the Lord lead him beyond that point. And believe me, after a while, the unsaved person will start trying to get information out of you. It will get to the point sometimes that you won't even be able to talk fast enough. The unsaved person will be so hungry for the gospel, he'll go after you that way. And that's a blessing. But most of the time, it's just answering the question and letting it go, letting it sit. If you try to push the door down, try to beat the door down, you're running into Satan's opposition and forget about it. Number four, what Paul's team proclaimed was not themselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. And they presented themselves rather as servants or slaves of fellow believers' needs for the sake of Jesus Christ. God had shown in the hearts of Paul's ministry team the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And all they were doing was voicing the knowledge to their hearers. However, this treasure of the gospel of salvation in Christ in the minds of Paul and his ministry team had been placed in the jars of clay of weak humanity to display the surpassing power of their ministry, that it belonged to God and not to man. Now, this is one of the tremendous paradoxes of Christian ministry. You have the Apostle Paul, who was very intelligent. He was highly trained, highly educated at the feet of Gamaliel, whom even the Romans understood, highly motivated. He had a comprehensive cultural orientation. He came from Tarsus, which is right on the border between Oriental thinking and Western thinking. So he was conversant with any Gentile in that day. He was very conversant with Jews. He was a Pharisee. So he was called by the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, a chosen vessel. But on the other hand, to be successful spiritually, God had to allow the weakness of his humanity to become very apparent so that people might see that it was God who was working through him that was making him effective. It wasn't Paul. And this is a difficult pill to swallow for those of us who are in ministry, but it's absolutely necessary. Sometimes God lets the weakness of our humanity become extremely evident. And he does that intentionally so that the success that they see of our ministry, they know that it doesn't come from the person. It comes from God. So it's one of the things you have to be willing to do if you ever get into a ministry situation is be prepared to be humiliated publicly. It'll happen. Because that's by design so that God can reveal the power by which you're functioning. It isn't yours, it's God's. Okay, for this reason, they were afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed. I think this is interesting. The Apostle Paul was perplexed. He couldn't figure everything out. But not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, that his life also may be manifested in their bodies. Paul noted that He and his co-workers were always being given to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus might be seen in their mortal flesh for the discipling of their hearers. Alluding to Psalm 116, verse 3, where the psalmist mentioned the anguish of the grave, but in verse 8 of that chapter in Psalms, he affirmed his confidence that God would deliver him from death. Paul had the same confidence that God would likewise work in behalf of him and his team to save them from premature death. Indeed, Paul was confident that he who raised Jesus from the dead would raise them also with Jesus and bring Paul and his ministry team with his believing readers to his heavenly presence. Let me get some water here. All the suffering that Paul and his team experienced was for the benefit of other believers, that the unmerited favor of God might be extended to more and more people through the gospel of Christ that Paul and his team proclaimed. This would result in thanksgiving to God from the many whose lives would be changed by the ministry of Paul's team to the glory of God. So the lesson is, though Christian ministry is glorious due to its sure final success, it's often marked by hardships in the living. However, Paul and his co-workers did not lose heart over their hardships, for the contrast between the weakness of their humanity that was exposed by their hardships and the glory of God's truth that they proclaimed was used of God to glorify the Lord. So Paul and his team valued the dying that they faced in hardships that Christ's resurrection might be seen in them for the edification of many grateful hearers to the glory of the Lord. So, may we accept the hardships we face in ministry as an essential part of God's use of us to disciple other people, and thus not lose heart over the hardships, but persevere in the ministry for the glory of God. Obviously, I've got my own little hardship here this morning. It's dry in here, and my voice is feeling it. Anyway, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson material itself.